Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesday, Saturday morning, so swing on over there and look for that brand new blog tomorrow. Of course, while you are at sportstimeradio.com, hit the link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, come on, you know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan.
Now, you know, Dan, I wasn't quite sure where we were going to start today, but I was clicking around, and I found this on the Mickey Mouse website, and I'm going to read you the title to this article, and then you're going to have to answer a question for me. The title to this article is Why People Can't Stop Watching Game Legend Ninja. So my question to you, Dan, is two parts. Who the hell is Ninja, and what game does he play? Because I had never heard of this guy until I clicked onto the webpage.
He's some kid who has like 14 million followers or some crap for all these kids who, you know, literally don't go outside and they're not playing video games. They're watching this guy play video games. Which, I get the whole video games phenomenon culture, but watching other people play the game that you could be playing, I don't get it.
You mean to tell me there's people who actually sit there online and not playing the game? You know, like, I understand if you're in your room with your buddy and he's playing something, you're watching him play. But, I mean, they actively seek out, and by the way, the picture is like a 1980s Vanilla Ice ripoff. Yeah, look it up, people. He's got a renovation show now, but he used to be a rapper. People really do that. I see that stuff on YouTube, but I can honestly tell you, I've never clicked on one of those videos. Why the hell do I want to watch somebody play a video?
Because people get all excited about the talking in it. I don't really know. I mean, you know, let's take you back to a time when this may have served a purpose. You know, let's go back to Nintendo, and you're trying to play Zelda, and you're stuck on a certain part, and you literally can't get past it. So maybe you look up, you know, the cheating way. That's what they call it, the cheating way. You look up how someone else did it, and then you pass it around. Or better yet, let me take you way back, Jack. When you had Atari, and you were playing that dumbass ET game, and all you kept doing was stuck in that hole in the ground. I don't know if you remember that, but that game drove me nuts. I literally have it stuck in my head because you could never do anything with it. That's where you go and watch the video. But, you know, like, I watched my nephew. I think he's like 10 years old now. Sitting there on his Xbox. You know, he brought it over. He's on his Xbox playing. And then he just stopped playing the game and switched to YouTube. And watch other people play a different game. And, you know, I'd be like, oh, what are you playing? Oh, I'm not playing anything. I'm watching, you know, let's just say Ninja play the game that I want to play. Well, why? Because it's funny.
Yeah, sadly, apparently it was at Lollapalooza, according to the article, and they've got a kid quoted talking to his mother saying, I play Fortnite every day, Mom. It's my dream to play Fortnite. Wow. And we wonder why this country is in the shape that it's in. something on.
Well, you know, I've heard this excuse before, and I'm not going to put it out there because I've heard this from, but I'm sure you can gather. I make crack jokes about the games that are played, and all I hear is, well, it's an engineering game.
What is Fortnite? So,
no, Minecraft. So
oh, okay.
You're telling me that Minecraft will equate to an engineering degree. So basically, Ruby, yourself, I'm sure you play Tetris.
Yes.
You should have engineering degrees because we could play pretty good at Tetris.
Well, I should. I actually was pretty good at Tetris, but I should have a degree. So, yeah.
So I just kind of scoff at the, you know, and I don't, like I said, I don't have an issue or anything against, you know, video games, but I think people push them to be more than what they are, and it's just to be some entertainment, kill some time, especially for us when we have dreary weather, you know, through November, December, January, February, even into March and April. You know, just something that kind of kills the time, but, you know, you're either going to be absolutely great or you turn into some lucky kid like Ninja who's got millions of subscribers who literally watch him play games and crack jokes with other users. And people watch
the thing that really scares me the most, Dan, is in this article, it says it's reported he makes between 500,000 and a million every month.
Wow.
So, you know, I guess the best advice I can give this guy is save your money and stop it. You have no marketable skills. And if the video game market ever goes down, you're going to need to be able to put your money away and make sure it's there when it's all said and done. So,
yeah, you know, the interesting thing is why did that former Boston Red Sox player who was basically kicked out of the game because of his political comments, Kirk Schilling, you know,
yeah,
for him, if he would have made a game that all these kids wanted to play and wanted to watch other kids play, he could be a multimillionaire. Well, he probably is.
You know, and you won't be surprised besides the fact that this thing has me and me looking at his girlfriend. So.
That's what money does.
Yeah.
But, you know, in 7 years when you're standing in, you know, Times Square begging for change, where is she going to be?
Yeah. With the next, you know, video game guy who's hot and on top of the world. Yeah, it was just scary because I saw that. I'm like, you know, at first when I saw the picture, I thought he just figured he was a soccer player. I was like, oh, okay, you know, he's just a soccer dude they're writing an article about. And then when it's like, you know, watch, you know, people, I'm like, wait. And then, you know, I guess the thing that really scares me is this is on a Spork website. I mean, this is the Mickey Mouse website. It's for their magazine, you know, Mickey Mouse the magazine. This is a sport now?
Well, I mean, they're on TV and they have broadcasters who call the games or whatever you call it.
Yeah, how do you announce a video game? This dude shot that dude. Okay. So, you know, hey, great. So, but yeah, I mean, I was just completely shocked and confused by this. And I was like, oh, maybe Dan knows because he's hipper and cooler than I am. So,
yeah, I'm not that hip or cool.
But yeah, I mean, I'm completely out of it. I mean, yeah, no, hey, if you've ever watch this D-bag, one of his videos or whatever, give me a call and tell me what I'm missing. 646-478-3753. And, you know, I mean, I get it. I'm old. But I still don't think I would watch somebody online play a video game. So.
No, and, you know, I mean, when I used to be into the Call of Duty, you know, they didn't have the setup like they do now where you could just literally record your entire match or whatever. But, you know, if I were to do anything, I might have, you know, did some highlight clips that were kind of funny. You know, but literally watching an entire 10-minute match, I think is pretty lame, pretty boring.
So, yeah, I used to work with a kid who was a big Call of Duty guy, and they used to record everything and, you know, put it online. And, oh, yeah, you know, you need to go watch this, and you need to go watch. No, I no. I don't need to watch any of that. You know, I don't play Call of Duty. I don't really enjoy those kind of games. I'm just not into it. You know, I'm more a strategy type guy, not a shoot 'em up type guy. And I know there's a little of both, but you know, I just not that interested. So, but all right, well, that went a little longer than I thought it was. I didn't realize you were going to have so much information on Ninja. So you're wizard up to this stuff. So.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I read on him, but I read a couple things.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I am disappointed if I'd have realized I could make $1 million a month. You know, I mean, I would have. Maybe I got to find a video game I can be good at. I'll have to dust off the PlayStation and fire it up. Tell me what I can make money at, Dan. I'll have to see if I can. You know, my next vacation, I'll spend all week sitting in front of it and trying to get good at it. You think people would watch me?
Well, you know, maybe you can go for another shtick or gimmick and just be really bad.
Well, I would do that right now, so, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one thing, a couple other stupid things you can think about doing, Big Jack. You can make a YouTube page about video recording yourself, your reactions to watching other videos. People make.
Yeah.
They make those. Or you can just order stuff from Amazon and eBay and record yourself literally step by step opening the package to using it. And there's people out there that get paid, well, you know, through the advertisements through YouTube that get paid to do that too.
Yeah, I actually watched about a minute video of somebody who bought a $50 mystery box off eBay, and just them opening it was the video. But it was only a minute long, so I didn't feel that bad about watching it. But, yeah, I've seen some of those that are like 5 or 6 minutes long, and I'm like, why am I going to sit here for 6 minutes and watch you open a box? So, you know what I mean? I find it hard to believe you're ever going to get your money's worth out of something called a mystery box on eBay. So.
Yeah, well, you know, they get all that money from their YouTube dollars and, you know, their fans message them like, oh, which one should I buy? And they buy it.
Yeah, and that's what this was. It was a woman, and apparently she does this all the time, and that's what she actually asked her subscribers, which I was frightened to know that she had, hundreds of thousands of people as subscribers, you know, and it was, but yeah, and this was the box they suggested she bought, so this was it, and she didn't get anywhere close to $50 worth of stuff. I mean, it was basically junk, so, but yeah, I think that might be my new thing. I might start packing all my old crap up in boxes and selling it on eBay, so. You know, hell, why move it? I'll just sell it. So.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking the same thing. It's a mystery box.
You know, I got a whole bunch of old wrestling VHS tapes. I could sell them for, you know, $10 a mystery box. You can have, you know, probably, Yeah, I'd probably get 20 tapes in there. That would be a hell of a value. So.
I'm surprised you didn't try selling them to Nick. I'm sure he would like them.
No, sadly he has most of them. You know, he recorded most of them. So, you know, I think that, you know, probably be the next thing I get rid of when we finally move next year. Those will probably go bye-bye. I'm never going to watch them again. So, you know. But, all right, enough BS. Let's move along and talk about something, relatively more interesting. You remember who your players of the week pick were since we weren't here yesterday?
Oh. If I, like, just elaborate a little bit more, I will.
Well, I remember, because I write it down. And it yells at me for it. So, in the American League, now there's only a couple weeks left, so we're running out of picks here. But in the American League, Dan took Yankees shortstop Didi Gregorius as his American League hitter of the week, as we call it here. The National League, I thought was a pretty, you know, just from the weekend we had, you should have picked him as the hitter of the week.
Oh, yeah.
That was Yasiel Puig of the Dodgers. Then for pitcher of the week, yeah, Dan can't ever go too far away from a Houston Astros pitcher. So we went with Justin Verlander this week. Was his Astro pitcher of choice. And then over in the American, or in the National League, excuse me, he made the homer pick, and he's going with John Lester. So there you go. I have to see here real quick what I have going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was thinking about going with the Cy Young / MVP winner, but he's 0-1 last. Yeah. He was 1-1, then I would
Tony Verlander, you went with Astro pitcher 6 times this year. So,
how many?
6.
Well, that's not bad. You figure what? 30-some-odd weeks?
Well, we're at 25 right now, and then we had a couple weeks we missed. So it's it's a pretty solid statistical number there. So... You know, while we're throwing out our fun stuff for our picks, we were fantastic last week. Mr. Fantasy won just barely over 500 at 9-7. Sue was 8-8. Dan was 7-9, and I was whopping 6-10. So there you go. I really sucked there, so I don't want to talk about it. But back to baseball. Now that we're caught up with all our BS. Dan, I got up, and you know, no surprise when I turned the TV on. You know, it's on MLB Network. I watch quite a bit of it, and my favorite show was on when I woke up. MLB Tonight with, of course, Brian Kenny as the host. And I didn't even know the Jackleg who he had on with him, but I'm just going to call him Jackleg because they were talking about the National League MVP race. And this guy is explaining how he doesn't think Javier Baez will win it because, all right, Dan, sabermetrically, they can't quantify what it means for him to play multiple positions. Dan, if I'd have been upset, I would have walked down there and punched the thing in the face. All right, just bottom line. Plain and simple, he needed to be punched in the face after he said this. Of course, you know, Brian Kenny ate it up, and I'm guessing he broke off when the show was over about it because he just wants to talk about sabermetrics. Dan, this is possibly – it's easily the stupidest thing I've heard today. This is clearly one of the stupidest things I've heard all season. A guy plays multiple positions – he's incredibly talented at 3 infield positions, but since it doesn't figure into sabermetrics, it's going to hurt his run at an MVP. Buddy, you got to explain this one to me.
Well, I mean, isn't there a magic formula where you take all the stats and adjust them until you get what you want, and then it works out?
I guess not for a super utility guy like Baez, is not. So, You know, I mean, even though he's technically on the best team in the National League, and he's clearly the MVP. I know Christian Yelich is making a run at it here. But Baez is clearly the MVP, especially with, you know, Trevor Story now being out for the season with whatever he did to his elbow last night. He's done, so say goodbye to the Rockies. You know, for whatever reason, they don't like to vote for Nolan Arenado. But, yeah, I mean, if he loses the award because of some stupid sabermetric defensive quantification that they can't figure out because he's a utility guy, none of these guys should ever, A, be allowed to talk about baseball again, or B, vote for any kind of award. Because MVP is a lot more than just what those numbers you're looking at on the paper are. And I, Dan, I just don't understand why these guys can't figure it out. You know, I mean, you know, at least they were talking about the National League, and I didn't have to listen to them tell me about how, oh, well, Mike Trout is clearly the American League MVP, even though his team sucks balls and there's guys with better numbers than him. Oh, he's clearly the MVP. So I don't get this. Do they realize they play the game on the field? Is that the problem?
Well, you know, he deserves it because he has the highest OPS and on base percentage.
So, you know, he's also hitting 20 points lower than Mookie Betts. And his team sucks. Betts is on the best team in baseball. So.
Well, I mean, Javi didn't steal enough bases for the MVP.
Yeah. I'm Scooter Jeanette's got better numbers than either Yelich or Baez. He's not winning the MVP. You know, you damn well, he's not even going to get any votes, even though they said the team's record doesn't matter anymore because they needed to be able to vote for Mike Trout while he's on a crappy team. So, you know, I mean, if the Angels ever get it right, start getting the playoffs, Trout's going to win 10 of these things in a row. So, but yeah, I mean, I couldn't figure it out, you know. I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who's had to carry his team. Let's face it, Brian has sucked. He's coming off the DL. Rizzo is finally getting going, but he really struggled all year. You know, he's the National League leader in RBIs. He's got 32 bombs. You know, he's hitting 294. You know, and of course, Dan, the first thing they bring up is, get on the base all that much. You know, there's a lot of strikeouts there. Yeah, you had Trevor Story in the mix. He struck out 15 more times than Baez has. So, you know, again, they seem to forget the, you know, the little ifs and buts that kind of go with it when they want to try to eliminate a guy. You know, there's always another guy right there with just as bad numbers. So, yeah, I think they just need to all be shot. Just take them out back and shoot them all, because they're just ruining the game. And I don't want, you know, I just gave up football. I don't want to have to give up baseball. So.
Well, you know, it's funny because when we talk about these shows, who do they never have as guest on with Brian Kitty?
Me?
Besides you, former players. Former managers.
Occasionally. So.
Yeah, but only the guys that back up their series, and, you know, who were probably paid to say what they wanted to say. But, I mean, when you listen to any local radio interview with anybody, you know, you know, with our locals, they get, you know, they'll interview anybody from any team, and they all bring up, you know, every former manager or player brings up the fact that you shouldn't rely on everything sabermetrically.
No, you can't run your club as a sabermetric entity. You know, it's just not going to work. So,
you know, they all agree that there's a place for it, but
oh yeah,
that place doesn't precedent the entire game. You know, every single move you make or decision you make shouldn't be solely based on sabermetrics.
Yeah, I, you know, again, it just, it baffled me when I, you know, when I had to listen to that. I had to turn it off right away after listening to that idiot. Literally, it was 3 minutes.
Well, and, you know, let's go back to Moneyball, Billy Beane. He's done everything somewhat sabermetrically. And while it's done pretty, you know, good at certain seasons, in the regular season, it's never produced any results in the postseason. And,
yeah,
you know, they're going to sit there and say that the Cubs and the Astros and the Royals were a part of sabermetrics or whatever, but they were part of a process that's kind of been copied where you crap out your team, which I don't think the Royals intentionally did it. I think that's just the position they were in, as well as the Astros. You draft the best hitters, and then what do? You buy the pitching, which all three of those teams have done.
Yeah.
And they won a World Series. You know, the sad part with that is, you know, our guys here that cover the Cubs and the Sox, Bruce Levine, that's – a lot of them, that's what they fully expect with the White Sox, that they are drafting, you know, solid hitters, but that somehow they're magically going to, in two seasons, land the high-priced pitchers in the World Series.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely interesting when, you know, you look at it. But remember the Royals were, God, they hated the Royals because they weren't sabermetrically grown. And, I mean, they just hated the fact that they went to back-to-back World Series. I mean, they would have done anything they possibly could to get the Royals out of there. You know, for just those 2 years, you know, it was just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, the Royals are this, the Royals are that, but there's this and that and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, wait, they're winning and going to the World Series, and they won a World Series. So.
Well, the Giants weren't really a sabermetric team either, were they?
No, not really.
In the three World Series that they won.
So, yeah, that, you know, that's always kind of, you know, kind of humorous. And I know in some way, shape, or form, you know, every team has adapted to it, and they're using it in different ways. But, yeah, it's just, you know, when you listen to it about, you know, about an individual award trying to figure out or try to explain how it doesn't factor in because, well, you know, we don't have a guy like this. You know, he plays three positions and he's actually good at all three of them, and, you know, he could probably start at any of them for, you know, almost any other team in the majors, and it doesn't fit into our metric because we can't plug in numbers here or there because, you know, it doesn't work out, and, you know, it's going to hurt an MVP candidacy. Hell, I would think it would be the exact opposite, and it would help him. So, you know, I mean, here's a guy, you know, playing, you know, Gold Glove caliber defense at three different positions, and just because he's not locked in at one, it hurts him. I mean, doesn't that sound dumb coming out of my mouth?
It sounds ridiculous. I mean, if he was playing three, four different positions and he was only good at one of them, yeah, I think that kind of would hurt the case.
But, yeah, it's, you know, it was, like I said, it was one of the easily the stupidest things I've ever heard said about, you know, how to judge an MVP or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, I didn't even stick around to get the guy's name because I couldn't watch it anymore. And literally, I would have walked onto the set and punched this guy in the face and then, you know, went to jail and hopefully he would have bailed me out, which means I would probably still be sitting there, but that's another story. But, yeah, you know, you listen to these sabermetric guys and, you know, they get stupider and stupider as it goes along, and it's just like, really? You know, when are they going to realize that, you know, you can't 100% run your team like this?
No, and I guess the biggest question I have for you is not what defines, but what does MVP stand for again?
Most valuable.
So you're telling me, or they're telling us, that a guy who can play pretty much the infield and excels at all of them doesn't equate to being valuable.
Right. That hurts his value. Yes. You can't plug the numbers in because he plays different positions. Right? And the more I say it, the stupider it sounds, doesn't it?
Because it shouldn't. If when you're talking numbers, what difference does it make if you're plugging in numbers what position he plays?
Right.
The position,
you know, whether
absolutely mean nothing.
Yeah. You know, like last night he hit a 2-run homer. Now, I didn't see the game because they're on the West Coast, so it started a little later. So I don't know what position he was at. Well, you know, let's say he was playing second base last night. He hits a 2-run homer as a second baseman. That's different than hitting a 2-run home run as a shortstop or a third baseman? you know, having over 100 runs driven in, and again, you know, sabermetrically, our guys don't mean anything. Yeah, because they're considered lucky, you know, which is another humorous thing. But, you know, I mean, and all his other, you know, his other numbers. But, I mean, his numbers are different from position to position. Is that? I mean, is that what they're saying? You need to know what he does as a third baseman, a shortstop, and a second baseman in separate. You know, I mean, you have to be able to chart that out, right?
Well, and are we doing most valuable player at each position? Or is most valuable player for all eight, sometimes nine positions?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that was the funny thing is I'm trying to figure out if this guy was a bigger moron than the guy last week who tried to explain how Jacob DeGrom needed to be in the MVP conversation. And, you know, he should be considered as the NL MVP. You know, because he's having such a great year on a team that's 10 games under 500 and has been absolutely no factor since the first, you know, 2 weeks of the season. But he's having such a great year, we should plug him in as the MVP. Yeah, that screams most valuable.
I mean, doesn't that just scream most valuable, Matt?
Right. You know, he's a pitcher. So he's going to pitch in, you know, 30 games, you know, which is, you know, how much of the season? I think I figured it out once. It's like 28% of the season, you know, in a 162-game season. So a guy who barely factors into what you do is your MVP. That's why they have the Cy Young. So, you know, it's just like, really? And, you know, I mean, like, you want to give DeGrom the Cy Young? I don't care. You know, I wouldn't, but that's me. You know, I think it should be on a guy who, you know, is at least kind of contending. But, you know, if you think he's the best pitcher, give him the award. You know, because, I mean, I know wins mean nothing now as well. You know, that's the other thing sabermetrics has taken away. The win is, you know, meaningless. And now that – teams are actually going to use the open. You know, if teams really start using this opener, wins really are going to be meaningless because, you know, it's going to be a guy to get two innings and then the next guy's going to come in and get the win. They'll legitimately just become, you know, basically useless. Yeah. You know, and then the odd part is I still haven't quite figured out why teams need an opener because, I mean, you know, he comes in and pitch one inning and then the guy who was supposed to start comes in and pitches five. Well, why couldn't that guy just start and pitch five and then this guy work the six?
Because it's not as flashy.
Right. You know, well, it doesn't make any noise. You know, nobody notices you if you didn't do it that way. And I mean, again, you know, this was a sabermetric guy's dream, the opener. You know, I mean, I knew there was something wrong with it when Brian Kenny got on board with it. I said, oh yeah, this is wrong. So, you know, but yeah, you know, kind of looking at the Cy Young race in the NL, you want to give the award to DeGrom. He's 8-9 with a 1.78 ERA and 30 starts. No problem. But that means you're going to give it to him to guys like Aaron Nola, who's 16-5 with a 2.42 ERA, whose team had been in the playoff race all year and just recently faded. Max Scherzer with another great year, 17-7 at 2.53. Don't forget Kyle Freeland, who pitches against the Dodgers tonight. The Rockies have been in the pennant race all year, 15-7, 2.96. But, you know, these things doesn't matter if you're in the pennant race. Doesn't matter if your team wins. You know, all that matters is those numbers that you plug in the computer and it spits out who the best guy is. You know, you don't even have to watch the games anymore, Dan. All you got to do is plug the numbers in and it will tell you who the best guy is. So, you know, that I guess that's just how baseball's going to go. I mean, hell, you know, you can even throw like a guy like Miles Mikolas in. He's 16-4 with a 3.01 ERA. You know, the Cardinals have been hanging around all year. You know, I know Dan mentioned Chacin the other day. I think it was last week. The guy's 14-8 with a 3.54 ERA on a team that's fighting for a playoff spot. So, you know, I mean, how do you factor in guys sucking it up and performing for winning teams? You know, that's really the big question that these guys just can't figure out. You know, and I mean, I know, you know, Christian Yelich has been fantastic. He deserves some MVP votes. You know, he just hit for his second cycle of the season. I know that doesn't, you know, mean anything, but, you know, he's tied for the National League lead in batting average. I know they hate that, but he has 31 home runs, which they love. So, you know, that's a big plus there for him. You know, so yeah, I mean, you kind of piece these things together. You know, I mean, I know Freddie Freeman's had a real nice year for the Braves, but so is Nick Markakis. You know, maybe even a better year than Freeman. You know, I know Freeman has more home runs, which is what they're always going to kind of look at. But, you know, yeah, it's just it's kind of baffling how they – you know, how they play these things out. And, you know, for a while I was on the Eugenio Suarez bandwagon, and he's faded a little bit. He's still got 32 bombs and over 100 ribs. But, you know, Scooter Jeanette's tied for the National League lead in batting average. And, again, I know that's a meaningless stat. But, you know, there's a guy with 22 bombs and 88 RBIs. I guarantee you he ain't going to be in the top five MVP. He's on a terrible team that's going nowhere. But they managed to say records don't mean anything. And you damn well know they don't mean it because, again, it was a way to push Mike Trout a little bit. Got to get Mike Trout up there. So, you know, and I talked about Nolan Arenado earlier. He's at 297 with 34 homers, 101 RBIs. You know, another guy who definitely, you know, he definitely deserves MVP consideration. Matt Carpenter was super hot for a while. I know he's fallen off as of late. Where is he now? Let me find Carpenter for you here. He's the National League leader in home runs at 35. But the average is down to 265, and he's only driven in 77. He does have 40 doubles, though. also, which is tied for second in the league. Just so you know, Markakis actually leads in doubles with 42. So, you know, so yeah, he's, you know, he's kind of, I would say, kind of on the outside now. He was rolling for a while, but you know, that's cooled off just a bit. But you know, like Markakis and Freeman are 1 and 2 for hits. So, you know, it just kind of depends. You know, you kind of look at these things and, you know, who's the most valuable to their team, or who has been the most valuable to their team. You know, you kind of start looking at these things. And I mean, I really think you've got to factor in, you know, where the teams kind of stand when you're putting these guys in order. You know, how much did this guy mean to a team that got into a playoffs, or the team that contended for the playoffs? You know, I mean, obviously, you know, like the Reds would be worse if they didn't have Scooter Gennett or they didn't have Eugenio Suarez, but they would still be in last place in the NL Central if they didn't have either of these guys. So to me, that kind of diminishes their value a little bit, where, you know, in return, you know, the Brewers are playing fantastic baseball. If Yelich wasn't there, or he didn't have this kind of season, they wouldn't be there. You know, and I think it may hurt him a little bit because Lorenzo Cain has had a very good year. I know the power numbers aren't there like Yelich, but he's having a really good year. So he may take a vote or two away from him, you know, and that may hurt him a little bit, where, you know, really the best player on the Cubs this year has been Javier Baez. They're the best team in the National League. You know, I mean, for a while, you know, I mean, I would have been on the Matt Kemp bandwagon, but even he's cooled off a little bit. You know, 284 with 19 home runs and 77 RBIs. So, you know, and, you know, they were, you know, everybody was on the Trevor Story bandwagon, but like I said, he's at 288 with 33 homers and 102 ribs. So he was putting up some big-time numbers. But, you know, the injury here is going to kill him, because they say it's damage to his UCL in his right arm, his throwing arm. That's the elbow ligament. So he's probably done for the year. I know they want a second opinion and to look into it, but, you know, that's, you know, one of those other things. And then, you know, the guy who's been totally under the radar, you know, what about David Peralta in Arizona? You know, Goldschmidt was bad for a long time there. The Diamondbacks hung around, and, you know, Peralta's put, you know, 296 with 28 bombs, 82 RBIs. He's had a really good year and really came through when that team needed him. And, you know, I think that kind of means a lot. But, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't, you know, what you mean to your team can't be factored in sabermetrically. So it's not really anything, you know, they look for, you know, with that. And, you know, I mean, with the year a lot of these guys had, you know, you have to wonder, you know, where they would be, you know, without them. I mean, you could actually kind of question if the Cubs would be in first place without Javier Baez. I mean, that's really what he's meant to the team, you know, with the Bryant injury, and then Rizzo having a bit of a down season until as of late. You know, Jason Hayward was gone for a while. I mean, the Yu Darvish signing was a complete bust. So, you know, you got to wonder. I mean, Addison Russell isn't hitting like, you know, he did last year. The power numbers aren't there. Wilson Contreras has been a bit down. Still a great defensive catcher, but he's not putting up very many offensive numbers. So, you know, Baez has really been the guy that's been there for him. So, you know, how does that factor in? So, you know, you just kind of wonder if they're going to look at it. So, You know, I don't know. You know, and obviously, you know, like I don't have a vote. You know, as great as it would be to have one, I don't have one. So we'll see. Maybe someday I'll get an actual vote, and I doubt that. But you know, again, like I said, I don't get it. You know, I'm lost. Just bottom line there, simply just completely lost with the way they do things. And, you know, while I still enjoy the game, this kind of stuff that they talk about just drives me batty. So, you know, I guess it's, you know, but I have to be able to get over it and move on. And, you know, because it is, you know, it's Yankee Red Sox time. So, you know, you gotta be ready to go with, you know, with all that stuff, because they started a series, even though, you know, the Red Sox have clinched the division. It's still the biggest thing in baseball for these two teams to be playing each other. You know, even though we do have the Dodgers and the Rockies in a series that actually means something. Yeah, let's spend all our time talking about the Red Sox and the Yankees in a division where the Yankees can't catch them. But you know, we're it's New York and Boston, so let's make it the biggest thing in the world, and not talk about the race for actually the division lead in the NL West. So I don't know. I just don't know at all why they do these things. Sometimes I think they do it just to frustrate me. I really do. So, but yeah, and I know, I believe the first today's game is on MLB Network. I'm sure. Yeah, here you go. Tomorrow's game, the Mickey Mouse Network is going to pick it up. And then my guess is, do they play Thursday? No, it looks like, are they off? Oh, no, here they are. Yeah, my guess is, since it's not listed, it'll be on the MLB Network again, because when they're on there, the Mickey Mouse Network doesn't put them on their schedule. So, but, yeah, it's Nathan Eovaldi against J.A. Hop there, so there you go. And, of course, Aaron Judge is returning and hitting second. While out in Los Angeles, it's Kyle Freeland against Clayton Kershaw. So, yeah, not only is it a better pitching matchup, it's a game that actually means something. But believe it or not, it's not televised unless the MLB Network is going to pick it up later, like they do with some of the West Coast games. The Mickey Mouse Network game you get tonight is the Cardinals at the Braves. So that's a game with a little bit of meaning, as you know, Atlanta has slowly pulled away in the you know, the good old NL East there, as the Phillies have kind of faded, and the Cardinals are just trying to hang on to a wild card spot. So. There you go. Well, what else is going on? Let's see. We got, you know, I saw Blake Snell is making the start for Tampa tonight. So that'll be interesting, because he's a big time Cy Young front runner now. And Strasburg going to make the start for the Nationals. So we'll see what he's got. Maybe he can go, you know, maybe he can give him four good innings before they got to take him out. And, see what's going on with him there. But so yeah, you know, some big time pitchers going. You know, it's always tough this time of year to actually kind of judge who's doing what and how it's going to work out. But looking here, yeah, the Braves has actually stretched their lead to 6.5 in the NL East. Now I knew that. I know they do have quite a few games left with the Phillies. I think it might be 7, but that's that, you know, at this point it's too big of a deficit to make up for Philadelphia. The Cubs are up 2.5 on the Brewers, so that's still a little bit of a tight battle. And then, yeah, the West, like I was talking about, the Dodgers won that game last night, so they're a half a game up on the Rockies. So that kind of worked out. Here, I didn't realize you'd fell off. I thought you were still up. Still taking care of stuff, so I was just rambling on.
You don't even need me anymore. You just.
Oh, lucky I'm still awake. Oh. But, yeah, no, you know, just, you know, I've been quite for a Sunday, so, you know, I gotta get all the salads out of my system.
Well, I did have to remind you or let you know that the Red Sox Yankees are actually on Facebook Live, bonus game of the week.
Yeah, they were pushing that on Intentional Talk today.
Now, you know, I don't know if it was between email, text, or Twitter, between the two of us, but you were not happy with Sunday's performance in the NFL. I was able to watch three quarters of the Packers-Vikings game, and then my dad stopped by and had me working, so I missed the last part of it to see that. I got another loss in my column, seeing as they both tied, which I just don't understand a tie in the NFL when you only have 16 games to begin with. Oh, let me just get rid of one. I would understand if they did ties in Major League Baseball, seeing as there's 162 freaking games, but neither here nor there. So, did you want to elaborate on your anger towards the NFL for this Sunday?
The thing that set me off was the Packer-Vikings game. I don't know if you saw the highlight of this, but in reality, the referees actually took the win away from the Packers. The Vikings were driving for their game-tying drive. Cousins is trying to throw a bomb on the right-hand side. I think he was going for Stephon Diggs. It picked off. It's clean interception. But wait, there's a flag. Well, Clay Matthews touched the quarterback, so they called roughing the passer. No matter how many times you watch that replay, there is absolutely no roughing the passer on that play. What the ref actually said was that Matthew slammed him to the ground, and that's why they called the play, because Cousins' feet came off the ground, because he was trying to throw the ball 50 yards. All right, moron. So my guess is the ref must have had money on this game. He's trying to get the Vikings back into it, because it's the only reason I can figure for making this call. You know, or maybe he had the over or the under. Because it was clearly an incredibly stupid call, and the NFL really needs to crack down on these guys, and this guy shouldn't even be reprimanded. He should have just been terminated, because you just can't have that. This guy's been a ref for a very long time, and nobody, I don't even think a Viking fan could look at that and tell me it was legitimately roughing the passer. So I know you would want to say it because it's your team, but, I mean, I watched some of the other highlights where, you know, quarterbacks on bad teams are getting laid out, you know, just getting rocked, and there's no flag. But this guy gets touched, and this moron throws a flag. So, you know, that got me started so bad I didn't even want to watch the second game. I actually didn't watch any of the Sunday night games because of it. I didn't watch it down a last night game. I'm just done with the NFL for now. Maybe I'll come back in a few weeks. Maybe I'll come back next year. I just don't care. Your rules have turned me off. The quarterback stands in the pocket. Just put a rope around him, you know, like you're trying to get into an exclusive club, and say no one can go past these ropes until he throws the football. Because that's all it is. You know, and I mean, I'm just tired of it. I mean, play sucks. You geared everything towards the offense. That defense, the only thing you can do on defense legitimately is rush the passer. Like, I saw a guy who, on defense, he put his hands up to try to block a receiver from catching the ball, and they threw a pass interference on him because he had a back turn. He wasn't looking at the quarterback. He wasn't looking at the ball. But he knocked the ball out of the receiver's hand. But but he wasn't turned around, so they called pass interference on him. And then they had our favorite thing. You probably didn't see this because nobody's really talking about this. I think it was Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, it might have been. They throw a touchdown pass, Tampa Bay does. You clearly see the guy gets his left foot into the end zone, and then his body falls into the end zone, so this is a touchdown. The ref calls no touchdown, calls it incomplete, says he's out of the end zone. Oh, no problem. We got review. We'll fix this. They review it and uphold the call while you're looking at the video that they're showing on the game, and you can clearly see that his foot is in the end zone. There's green turf between his foot and the white, and then he falls into the end zone. And somehow they upheld the call. And I'm like, okay, well, why do you have replay? So I was just kind of like, yeah, I can't deal anymore. I'm done. You know, it's just for me to put up with on a Sunday. So I'll just take a nap or something while they're playing the game.
Yeah. Well, there's usually NASCAR. But for those of you out there who will continue to watch but are upset that you do not have the NFL Network and you won't be able to watch the Jets versus the Browns Thursday night, if you've joined the rest of us and have a smart TV or, you know, Roku stick or Amazon or any of those other sticks, you can stream it on the Yahoo app. But who wants to watch the Jets and the Browns?
I do. Oh, no, I don't. So, but speaking of streaming, Dan, I was on my wonderful Roku TV, and I saw a suggestion of, I don't know if you've ever checked this one out, but there's an app, I guess, are they called apps or are they channels, whatever it is, called Pluto TV, and it's actually live television. And it's actually a pretty good setup. They have a couple of 24-hour sports channels, but one of them is called Stadium. And I decided we really need to have you and I on because they were replaying a show from Saturday this afternoon. So I think they need you and I to do live television for them. So you may have to find out who they are and see if we can get Sports Time Radio on there. There's no need for them to be rerunning stuff like that when they can just go to you and I.
Well, glad they do it. What is Stadium and what was it about?
All I know is the channel is called Stadium and it's 24/7. Because like when I turned it on this morning, they had their version of the highlight show on, and it was hosted by a former Mickey Mouse Network guy. I think his name was Mike Lynn or Mike Kim, and I recognized him immediately, and I was like, oh, this is where he ended up. So I don't know much about it because I just found the channel over the weekend. So, I'll have to look, more into it and see if I can find out, but, as of now, all I've seen is different, like, talk shows. So I don't think they're showing actual events. Obviously, that's what you and I do as a sports talk show.
Sports Time Radio.